Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and I hope you're traveling in our orbit of education and learning. Now, today I have the honor and privilege to interview three post-secondary students that were volunteers at CARFEST 2019 in San Antonio. In this session, there are some huge learning moments for you as you'll hear what's on the mind of potentially the kind of young new hire you'll make in the not-too-distant future.
And then, you know, that first weekend where, you know, I felt like I tore down the entire front end of my car, but really I just did an alternator. I was like, this feels kind of good. You know, I got all dirty, you know, had a few friends over. It was a good little experience. I was like, I want to do something with this. I want to make a living out of it. So that's kind of where it started.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Carm Capriotto here at Remarkable Results Radio, and we are so proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2020 Napa Expo that's coming to Las Vegas April 6th through 9th, 2020. Now, join members of the Napa family and find out the latest news and most up-to-date industry information. Hey, mark your calendar for April 6th through 9th, then contact your Napa store for all the details and enrollment information. I hope to see you in Las Vegas. Hey, you know, we find ourselves for various reasons skimming the news, social media, the inside jacket of a new book, and even news articles that we're bombarded thousands of times an hour with stuff that in many cases does not make us better at what we do. Now, remember why you're engaged here with the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Now, with all the noise in your life, Remarkable Results Radio grounds you in the context of the aftermarket. You are almost guaranteed to learn just one thing. I guarantee it. Now, learning supports your purpose, and it brings influence to the people you touch. A heavy thought, but that's why you hang with me and the guests each week. Hey, in today's episode, I want to thank a few of the instructors who were able to pull this session together. Now, everyone at CARFEST is so accommodating, and for that, we've got a great interview that will give you a glimpse into the mind of these young automotive students. Hey, this episode is with Ashlyn Poole, Cheyenne Keith, and Michael Wheeler, all in post-secondary education. And this is proof that CARFEST is doing some great things by reaching out to automotive colleges to further enhance the awareness of the independent aftermarket professional. These students volunteered and worked hard in their assigned bays, working with professionals to further engage their technical hunger. The future is bright. Hey, it's Carm here, and I am at CARFEST 2019 here in San Antonio. And if you had a chance to see the podcast about CARFEST or even my Facebook Live that I did, this is one of the most phenomenal community event programs I have ever seen in the country. And part of one of the really big events that's here is the fact that there's 25 vehicles being worked on, if you will, in a kind of a repair pit. And there's 25 shops, there's lifts, you name the piece of equipment that you would see in a shop, from lathes to presses, all kinds of equipment is here. And part of what's going on here is the fact that the CARFEST community reached out to the post-secondary schools in the area, in a very large area around San Antonio. And I happen to have with me three of the students who are working hand-in-hand in the pit along with the professional technicians that are here. I have Ashlyn Poole. Say hello.
Hello.
And where are you from?
I'm from San Antonio.
San Antonio. What school are you going?
I go to St. Phillips.
Cool. And Cheyenne Keith. Hi.
Hello.
School?
Southern Careers Institute.
Cool. And where do you live?
Right now in San Antonio.
San Antonio. And Michael Wheeler.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. School?
TSTC in Waco.
Great. And you live?
In Waco.
In Waco. Okay. In Waco. That's a long way away, isn't it?
It's about a 3-hour drive, yes, sir.
3-hour drive from here. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Okay. When you were you picked? Did you volunteer to come in and work in the pit fixing these cars?
Volunteered.
You volunteered?
He said I had no choice.
He said the instructor. In fact, by the way, we have an audience here, and the audience is here keeping an eye on us, and thank you. A couple of instructors are here, right? We've got instructors and some support personnel. So you're in the pit working. Give me an idea of anything in this first day here that you guys took away from you that you may have learned from one of the professional techs.
Draining a rear differential.
Draining the rear differential. You've never done one, or did you learn a trick?
No, I've never done it.
Okay. And it was a an eye-opening thing for you? It was easy.
Yeah. I mean, I gave them an idea to use a funnel instead because they only have one jack and four stands. Okay. And they used the jack for the front end of the vehicle. So I'm like, hey, I can fit underneath. Can I just use a funnel and just have it drain into the pan? They're like, hey, if it works, let's do it. So it worked.
Isn't that great? Someone took one of your ideas. Mm-hmm. I love it. How about you, Ashlyn?
A lot of it I've already done before.
Okay.
But in the diesel aspect of everything. So doing it on an automotive car was a little bit harder because everything's a lot smaller.
Okay, so you're really working on the big stuff?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. So it was like an ant.
Yeah.
But you're toughing through it, right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I think we're done with our car, actually.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was supposed to last 2 days.
Yeah, it didn't.
Okay. Well, you guys are all professionals. How about you, Michael? Learn anything?
Oh, yeah. This is my first semester, so this is a brand new experience for me. One of the biggest things I took from them was don't always rely on your eyes. A lot of the things you have to feel for, you won't always be able to see that bolt that you're trying to reach. And the more that you do it, the more you'll get the feel for it. And really great experience overall, really.
Every professional technician who's listening to this saying, right on, Michael, I get that. Yeah, you got to feel for things. Huh? You just get that second nature. In fact, you'll feel for something and know exactly what size.
That's what they were doing earlier. We were taking off the an alternator bracket, and one of the techs is reaching back there. He's like, all right, we got a 14 right here, we got a 14 right here, and we got one back here. I was like, I can't even see that. I don't know what you're doing.
And he knew which wrench, huh? Mm-hmm. He knew which wrench. So look, I'm proud to have you guys here joining our great industry. And I want to know what your motivation to go to post-secondary school for automotive trades, even though you're in diesel, right? Mm-hmm. You're still in our club. That's no problem.
It's still automotive in a way.
Yeah, it's still automotive. What prompted you to go to college to become, in your case, a diesel mechanic?
I've always liked working with my hands and taking things apart. And I knew diesel made more money than automotive.
Okay.
So.
You think so, huh?
It definitely.
Okay.
And there's always a need for it. No matter if cars go to electric, we're still going to have 18-wheelers and trains and boats and generators. Those are always going to be around, so I'll always have a job.
Wow, what a great observation from such a young lady, huh? Interesting.
That's the reason why I wanted to do it, too. It's exactly what she said. Okay. But diesel programs, there's only a few in certain areas, and the one I wanted to go was in Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So you're, you know what? You could always go into diesel.
Yeah, later on.
Once you join the workforce. We'd sure hate to lose you in the independent automotive aftermarket, but you know what? As much as what you say, Ashlyn, about, you know, the wages and stuff, our industry is changing a lot and big time, and I think you're going to see a huge jump in wages over the next 5 years because we need people, smart people that know technology.
I hope so.
It's technology and electrical that's becoming a huge thing.
So tell me about that. How much training are you getting in basic electric?
Right now, nothing. I mean, like, you get your basic electric, but to further on actual hybrids or full electrical cars, we don't really get a lot because we're in the southern states.
Okay, so let me change that question around. And when I say basic electric, I say volt ohms and amps.
Oh, yeah.
You're digging into the real
yes,
nitty-gritty.
Yes.
What electricity really is all about, right?
Yes.
Are you learning voltage drops?
Yes, and in the amperage, and then, of course, knowing the fact that the battery needs to be at a certain percentage before mm-hmm. doing any of the recalls that we do on Volkswagens.
Okay.
Because if not, we'll just fry the sensor and everything about it.
Oh, that's right. Your apprentice program is at a Volkswagen dealership.
Yes.
And how is that? What's that like?
Right now, it's really good because they just made me team lead for our express team back in the shop.
Oh, cool.
And so now I'm actually help organizing everybody and training a few of the technicians that also go to other schools like St. Philip's.
Do you know what that means to a young woman like you?
I'm not too sure.
Well, yeah, to be a team lead, and how long have you had the job?
For about, I think, 7 to 8 months.
Wow. I mean, I've been around the horn a little bit. That's pretty impressive. You're obviously on your way to be a heck of a talent in our industry, especially if VW recognizes that. Michael, what do you plan to do in the industry? Even though you're in your first semester, you must have said to mom and dad, listen, I want to work with my hands and I don't want to be a lawyer. Did you say that?
Not directly, but I think they kind of got the hints.
Your parents got the hint that you wanted to work with your hands. Take me to that dinner table meeting.
I think it started when my TV was torn apart and I was trying to put it back together.
All right. And who tore it apart?
I did. So it started off as that. And then as far as the automotive goes, I never really did anything in high school. I wasn't in the automotive classes or anything like that. But shortly after high school, when I got my first car and, you know, things start falling apart and breaking, I just started going to YouTube, typing in my year, make, model, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This thing broke. How do I fix it? And then, you know, that first weekend where, you know, I felt like I tore down the entire front end of my car, but really I just did an alternator. I was like, man, I was like, this feels kind of good. You know, I got all dirty, you know, had a few friends over. It was a good little experience. I was like, I want to do something with this. I want to make a living out of it. So that's kind of where it started.
You weren't sitting at home in your bedroom playing on an Xbox?
Well, I do that, you know. When
that's why he tore apart the TV. It wasn't working. So he's like, well, let me fix this.
Yeah, you know, how did you see that?
Yeah. You know, you're a gamer. You want to sit on your butt and be a programmer for the rest of your life. But mm-hmm. something motivated you. Mm-hmm. And so take you back to the dinner table, though, even though you didn't tell me the whole story when you said, Mom and Dad, listen, I think I may want to work in automotive technology. What'd they say?
Oh, they were thrilled. I mean, I graduated high school back in 2012, so it's been a few year break in between.
All right.
But actually, it was my grandmother that kind of pushed me to go to college, and she was like, you know what I'd really like to see is both my grandsons graduate from college. And I was like, you know what, I think I can make that happen for you. And I told her what I wanted to do, and it was 100% support. And
so are you having any fun in your first semester?
Oh, it's great. Like, first day, I was just full sweat, you know, showing up 30 minutes early to every class. I was like, oh, God, I haven't been in school in 7 years.
All right, so you had that energy built up.
Now
right?
He comes late.
No,
now he comes late.
I was late one time.
Oh, we're having a domestic argument.
I felt horrible about it.
That's okay, but you jumped in both feet.
Both
and,
feet.
And you just probably can't wait for the next lab.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I like most about it was in high school, I wasn't really motivated because it was just textbooks and worksheets and busy work. But so far, I'd say it's about 70% lab work versus 30% in class going over the book and stuff like that. So that's what really gets me going.
70% lab work.
Yeah.
How many in your lab?
How many students?
Yeah.
Well, it started off about 20. Now we're down to about a dozen per class.
But why?
They just didn't have the energy for it.
Okay. So they're no longer in school.
Yes.
So, you know, we hear that a lot because I'm an advisor on a post-secondary automotive technology class, and we lose 50% of the students in the first year. And you've got staying power, you guys. And the people that have left, it just really wasn't right for them.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't. And you could tell right away?
Yeah. We used to have, actually, ours is a little bit different.
Okay.
We're a little bit more smaller for mm-hmm. Southern Careers. And I had maybe 5 kids in my class, and then since everybody's schedule is a little bit different, mm-hmm. we couldn't take everybody out from dealerships, so they spread everybody out on different days. So now from 5 people, I'm usually 2 people, maybe 10 people on certain days, depending on, but everyone's at a different pace. But I've seen people dropped out, even from work, while they're going to school, too.
It wasn't in their wheelhouse.
Mm-mm.
It was nothing.
They get so frustrated instead of taking their time or asking for help. Usually they don't want to ask help.
Years ago, we didn't lose those people because they were working on cars during high school. And they got it and they understood it. And mm-hmm. today, like you said, Michael, I believe, you played with an alternator and maybe a TV, but that was it. You're probably an exception to the rule.
I would think so, yeah. Like I said, I never really had any desire to do this before about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was just like, something in me just switched. I was like, I really want to do something with this.
Cheyenne, what was your motivation to become an auto technician?
Well, it was actually kind of an accident. I wanted to do paint. Oh, well, I'm an artist. So okay. I decided to go to a body work that's set up in my school.
By the way, I could tell you're an artist. I could tell you're an artist, and when our listener sees your picture, they're going to know why.
Well, So I decided to take body work, thinking that I would be able to be like some of the guys. Oh, I get to spray paint car panels and do all that stuff. No, we did classwork and learning about safety. And then further on, whenever I kept taking apart a bumper or a fender and putting them back together and do that process about 20 times a day,
yeah.
I'm like, I could do this. I kind of enjoy this. I like messing with my hands. Then I try to go for body work. Nobody was offering it.
Was this in high school?
This was after I graduated, and during my last year as senior, I got ASC certified for body work and body collusion. But whenever I moved to Austin, nobody was hiring because I didn't have any experience. Mm-hmm. So I saw that that's kind of an issue for me. Then I went to Jiffy Lube. They just like, you know what? We don't even care that you're, you used to be a babysitter. Oh, you used to do body work? We'll love you. Come over. From there, started doing taillights. Now I'm a state inspector. Used that knowledge. Then I found Southern Careers on accident. Again. Thought it was a job in San Antonio, but turns out it was a school. They didn't tell me on Facebook. They're just like, hey, we'll accept anybody. Doesn't matter as long as you pass background check and you're ready for a learning experience. So go down there. They're like, yeah, this is a college. I'm like, what? And I was like, what do you mean, like UTI? They're like, something like that, but instead you actually work while you're learning. I'm like, huh, this actually will change my perspective on it, because that's what prevented me to go to UTI, because I didn't want to go to college. And if I graduate from college, nobody wants to hire me because I don't have hands-on experience. I even had some issues trying to apply for jobs.
And now you're a team lead at a VW dealership. Wow. In how many months? You said it was...
Seven to eight months. Yep.
It's a great story. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new Napa Smart Sign, previously known as the Digital Menu Board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a Napa Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. Napa Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board. And targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen. Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your Napa Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest Napa national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a Napa Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, I'm on top of my game. Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what Napa Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing Napa store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. Ashlyn, tell me about your story. I'd love to hear it.
Well, after I graduated high school, I did a gap year program because I had no idea what I wanted to do. And then I started doing school for nursing. Took AMP1, and I was like, this sucks. It's not for me. So I stopped, took semester off, considered joining the military, looked up some trade schools, and was like, I can do this. It's only 2 years. I already have all the prereqs from nursing. Why waste those? So I ended up enrolling at St. Philip's. I love it a lot. I love all the guys. There's like 5 females and 80 guys. It's pretty cool.
How about those odds, Michael?
Mine's just one and out of everybody.
You're the only girl?
Pretty much, right, Dev. No, cool. For both campuses.
Okay. I was the only girl. I got a job at Cummins, Southern Plains off of 35 and Walsham. So I was working there for a while as an intern. And I actually just got a job at Rush.
So you became an intern while you're at school, mm-hmm. but how long into your start of school? Was it the first semester?
I started January of last year. I got the internship October of last year. So about a semester and a half.
Semester and a half. And they must have loved your passion, the things that mm-hmm. you knew, the career path you wanted to be on. And when they saw that you wanted to work on diesel, I mean, they just swooped you right up.
Yeah. And it helped knowing like going to high school with the service manager's daughter, so I already had an in.
There's a connection.
But the job that I got at Rush, that was all me. They saw my resume and they were like, "Hey,
cool,
we want you."
I gave up on resumes now.
Now I'm over there making decent money and excited to learn more than just engines.
I love what you said earlier that, you know, our freight's going to move and our trains are going to move and there's always going to be some diesel engines, even if the world says we're all electric, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are afraid of, Cheyenne and Michael, you're afraid of where we're going with electric? Or is it just say, hey, you know, if it's got four wheels and it moves, yeah, give it to me. I want to fix it.
Just something new to learn.
Something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes more, the more things you can build up on your resume and your career life, the more jobs you can actually perform. I've seen people where they worked on air compressors and they can work on vehicles just because that's still an everyday thing.
Got it.
From ACs to vehicles, even on diesels.
Michael, regarding working with the owners of the shops in the pit, now there's all these bays and these lifts and there's a shop owner with along with their techs and some students working hand in hand with them. Did you talk to the owner in the group that you're with at all?
I haven't had much time with the owner yet. I was just pretty much shadowing the tech and helping where I could. So I really haven't had much time to speak with the owners yet.
What about a career in the independent business? What would I have to do to get a job here? I mean, you know, you're just starting school. You're in your first semester. Yeah. You're probably absolutely not thinking about a career yet because you're trying to absorb everything. I mean, from being a non-automotive person to jumping in for your first semester, boy, man, you've got years of learning ahead of you. And so let me ask that question of all of you. Are you committed to be a perpetual forever student? Because you're never going to stop learning. You know why. Number one, there's so many ways to learn how not to break things because you're going to have to break a lot of stuff.
Oh, no, I love knowledge. That's why I like doing things the things that I like to go for is the things that I don't know. So, for instance, I didn't want to mess with any children. I know how to take care of children. I didn't want to work in retail or work for certain restaurants because I already know how to make that. I want to do something where I can benefit from it and learn and use it. Because, for instance, cars are your investments. Housing, those are your investments. You're going to live in there. You're going to do everything of your life in those things. So why not learn how to fix it? Why not learn how to make it better or improve everybody's living for it?
Got your head screwed on right.
Oh, I got so many things.
Wow.
I could go on for days.
That's okay. I'm not leaving until the morning. Let's go back to this forever student, this perpetual studency thing. Are you prepared to constantly be going to classes?
In a way, yeah. Because I know, like, with PACCAR engines, Detroit engines, Cummins engines, they all have their own school. So whatever company I'm working for will send me to school for a week so I can master that engine. And if I don't master that engine, then I don't get a raise. So got to master the engine so I get more money.
So there's a little incentive at the end at the end of the program.
For sure.
Cheyenne and Michael, do you realize that you're going to have to be going to at least 40-some hours of training even after you're out of college each and every year?
Oh, yes, because, in fact, in June of this year, I'm actually being a certified technician for Volkswagen, which I have to travel where he's at in Dallas. I don't know if you're in that program or Volkswagen if you work with them.
No, not yet. I just started in February, but it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, they have some good classes that we have to train on. We'll have to go on there and they'll teach us about the new features of our cars or how to use a certain tool, how to perform certain jobs.
And you expect to be trained, you didn't have to pay for training?
No, they said that they pay for everything. All I have to do is actually work on these classes. And if I really want to go for it, then just do it and they'll pay for everything. They'll send me over there. I'll be over there for a week. And then I'll come back, use those hands-on experience at my job that I've learned from an instructor. Mm-hmm. And then in a couple more weeks, go back up there to finish up. And it's called the Fast Track Program for Volkswagen.
You're ready. I mean,
oh yeah.
When you graduate from post-secondary, we're going to lose you to a dealership.
Oh, you already have.
You know, there's certain things I say on purpose because I want my listener to really hear that and understand that the dealerships are making an investment in post-secondary, and we as the independents, because that's my main audience is the independent automotive aftermarket and the service professional. We are working very hard to step up to work harder with our post-secondary colleges, but not quick enough.
Well, the thing is, the reason why I want to stay with the dealership right now that I'm with is because they give a lot of chances and great opportunities, especially for women. So I'm not the only one that works there. There's another girl that works there, and she's in main shop. In fact, she was team lead whenever I first started. Mm-hmm. And then she went into main shop. Now she's next to the shop foreman learning tricks. Our manager of the shop foreman is a female. She came from Mercedes. And so they're all about trying to help with the community for women to, if they want to be in this life, they will help. And a lot of places weren't hiring me here in San Antonio. But I just walked in. I'm like, hey, I have an interview. And they're like, we don't have any interview. I'm like, yeah, you do. I'm right here.
Uh-huh. What's interesting is that you're hanging out in the pit where all these cars are being repaired with independent owners to really understand what the automotive aftermarket on the independent side is about. Do me a favor, invest in talking to the person that you're working with and ask the techs that you're working next to, how is it working at this shop? How is it working in the industry? What kind of training are you getting? What kind of benefits are you getting? And it will prepare you for the future. And what do I mean by that? I have a really big question. Would you ever think of owning your own shop?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Already planning on it.
Yeah, I got a fist bump that. Yeah, that was great. We were all prepared for that.
I asked already. A perfect question. All right.
Yeah.
So, very young in your career. You're all, I'm assuming, under 25?
Yes, 21.
I'll be 25 in 4 days, but lucky. Still okay. Under 25.
I was close. I was yeah, close because you said you were out of school for a while. When you say I'd love to own my own shop someday, what's the motivator?
Well, I've always wanted to own something. Ever since I was little, I always drew drawings for my mom of how I wanted to be a veterinarian, have my own shop, wanted to own bakery, and I would lay out, like, design the whole thing. I even did it with automotive. I'm like, hey, I got to do this. I want to have some nails. Or I want something where I could bring in these women because I want them to feel comfortable whenever we work on their cars. I want to build that trust with these customers.
Did you see the all-female shop that's here?
I heard about them. And the funny thing is, my instructor told me about there was a girl there from CarFest. And then my sister-in-law showed me a video. It's like, hey, you should, like, work over here. And I'm like, wait a minute. I saw a picture of her at the old CarFest for Pixie Dust. Something like that, but it was like, yeah. And then I saw her again. I'm like, yes, she's here.
Yes.
But I was too scared to talk to her.
No,
she's great. Really nice.
I know she is. I can tell, but I was just like, I'm too scared.
I was observing. She is a ball of fire.
She
and,
is.
And they started on the car last night.
And there's two girls that are with her that are also at St. Philip's, but they're in the automotive side.
Okay.
So I didn't know them until today.
Please don't be afraid to reach out.
I know.
You seem like, Cheyenne, you have some entrepreneurial spirit in you because you drew all those pictures of things that you'd love to be someday. And those dreams got to come true for you.
I'm trying to.
Good for you.
This is my first step.
Good. Michael, so you say you'd love to own your own shop. What's the motivation behind that?
I've always liked to be in charge, not necessarily in a boss way, but more of a leader way. I like to, you know, be the one that, I guess, leads the pack.
Okay.
So that's just been my driving force. Is like I love working on stuff, but at the same time, I'd like to have something that's mine that I could say, you know, hey, look what I did. I made this. This is mine. And that would just be, you know, a long-term goal that I would like.
One day you got to get a chance to listen to some of the leaders of the automotive aftermarket. For example, the director of training for Bosch in the automotive aftermarket started out as a technician in his dad's shop. Mm-hmm. Ryan Koyman, the director of training for Standard Motor Products, started out as a technician at a shop. And it's amazing how many different pathways that you all could reach someday or go to, you know, the fork in the road. Has anyone ever shared with you way beyond the fact that you don't have to be a technician to have a fruitful career in the automotive industry?
Yes.
What have you heard?
You don't have to be the person to work on it, but you could be the person that sells the parts.
Yeah.
You could be the person that designed the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Or further on, you can help create new layouts for the buildings that these places are going to be selling their stuff. So there's that part, if that helps your answer.
It does. It really does. It helps me knowing that you're thinking large. How about you, Ashley?
You don't have to be a tech forever. Like, I don't plan on being a tech past the age of 35.
Yeah, but you're going
to
own your own shop, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be the owner. I'll have techs.
She'll have her minions to do the work.
I'll hire kids that I went to school with to work for me.
You got a dream. That's all that matters.
And then I'll have, hopefully, sons that want to do the same thing their mama did. Just follow in their footsteps. I mean, right now, I could go, after I graduate, I could be like a parts person at Cummins or Rush, or be a shop foreman eventually. There, you don't have to keep turning wrenches.
Original vice president for Cummins.
Yeah, Jenny Bush.
Yeah, see? What about you, Michael? Anything, anyone ever come up and talk to you? Is the world your oyster?
All of my instructors so far, everyone that I've been with, especially Chris Perales, he's the one that brought me here. They all started off as a tech. You know, they went through school and they either worked at a dealership or an independent shop or what have you. Out of the blue, you know, they get a call from TSCC and they're like, hey, you know, we're short a person. Would you like to come up here and maybe teach one class for, you know, Monday, Wednesday? And they're like, yeah, we can fit that in my schedule. We can work something out. Next semester, it's, hey, can you teach two classes? And they're like, yeah, we could do that.
Can you teach full time?
So on, yeah. And, you know, next year, they're a full-time teacher. One of my instructors, Chris Perales, he owns a shop with his brother, Perales and Brother, or I think it's the Perales Brothers. So he does that, and he's a full-time teacher. So when he's not teaching us how to do stuff, he's over there with his brother working on cars and doing stuff like that. And then,
interesting how all that works. How you know, there's 6 degrees of separation. Everybody knows everybody else, and the opportunities are huge in the automotive. I mean, just the auto care industry alone is a $384 billion industry. It's like in the top four of our GDP in our country. I mean, you know, sometimes you ask someone who's a tech or an owner or a service advisor, and they say, you ask them, what do you do? And they say the right thing. They say, I'm in the reliable safety transportation business. It's not like I fix cars, and it's not like I sell service and I sell parts, or I'm an instructor. I'm in the transportation business. Interesting way to look at it for you as you're starting out your careers. Are you glad you came to CarFest?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Loving it.
Yes, first time. And I actually enjoy it. I didn't even know this was a thing at all.
Yeah, it's a big thing. In fact, I didn't know how big it was until I got here.
I'm not even from here. So whenever I first started school, he was like, yeah, you know what? We're going to go to CarFest. I'm like, what's that? He's like, oh, you're going to go.
yeah, you know, it's got a great name. When you come here, you appreciate what CarFest means. But if you were just from the outside, it's just a car show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, wrong. Yeah, okay. Of course, there's a little car showing going on here. But it's more about the community, and it's all about the involvement in post-secondary. It's all about helping people that just don't have the money to fix their car. And it's all about these car giveaways. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I don't really care about the car giveaways. I really like how there's actually people in Texas or in general that are wanting to give back to the community that have helped them build up their business. Yeah, and yeah. Are now like, oh, you know what? People can't afford things. It happens. These cars get a little pricey over time. Certain brands are a little bit cheaper. But even just trying to get the aftermarket parts or just going to a junkyard can get pricey.
Yeah.
So I like how they're supportive on doing that. 25 cars to do and what, 3 days or just in one day?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Mark Kolaw explained it to me about a year ago. I had a vision of what I thought it was until I got here and realized it was like 10 times bigger. Mm-hmm. And the logistics to pull this thing off, think about what you're working in the pit. Think about what it took to put that together.
All the sponsors.
And all the sponsors that made this happen. And you're right about, Cheyenne, about the outreach in the community and the giving. This whole event is nothing but about giving.
Yeah, I met the guy named George. I guess he used to do this stuff for 3 years, and then they have him helping them out again this year. And I found out we've been using his tools. Now he's been lending a lot of stuff, and he helped. And he'll have his guys from his store to set up the shop, organize where each car goes, even do the shirts for who all gets what, mm-hmm. and then even getting the sponsor for food trucks or people want to come in like Snap-on or Jasper.
Yeah.
So I guess I kept seeing him all over. I'm like, Jasper, yeah. Jasper
Engines and Transmissions, a key sponsor here. So, hey, it was great to have you here. Thanks for your insights on you as a student and what you see here going on with CarFest and for you to share some of your deep thoughts about where you're going and how you're getting there. Thank mm-hmm. you to Ashlyn Poole, Cheyenne Keith, and Michael Wheeler. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.